What's up, everybody? Welcome to Unfiltered. It's your boy Caleb here, and to my left I have
James
Watts
and Darius, what I go by, Dino.
All right, Dino, Watts, James in the building. This is the first episode of our podcast, Unfiltered. What Unfiltered is going to take a look at the life we live in, the struggles we have, the things we see, the observations we have made, and ultimately the things we think about. We wanted to call it Unfiltered because it's ultimately just what we think. It's the things that we experience, and it's the perspectives that we have, all being African-American men. But for the listener's sake, I think we should all give a little intro about ourselves, what we're doing, why we're here, and just get it like that. So I'll start. So Caleb Michael, I'm originally from the Bay Area. I'm a fourth-year senior here at Oregon State studying speech communication, and I'm looking to go to grad school next year or pursue something like that.
I'm James, second year civil engineering major. I'm just out here trying to make some money as an engineer, trying to get my 4 years and get out of here. How you going to comment on my...
Bro, we can all talk in here.
I know, but I was trying to talk and you didn't let me talk.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to be better than Caleb. That's all, so.
What's good? It's Watts.
Cuss by Watts.
Recent graduate.
What? How you gonna interrupt me like that, man? You just good at this.
See? Anyways, it's Watts, you know, mostly known by as Cuts by Watts. Recent graduate of Oregon State, class of what, 2018? I don't really pay attention to that, you know. As my man D North would say, it's for the culture. Go ahead and secure that degree.
Yes, sir.
But right now we chasing dreams, you know, and me specifically in the field of barbering. So stay tuned and straight up, that's it. Yeah.
And, of course, I'm Darius, a.k.a. Dino. I am a fifth-year senior studying public health here. And like Watt said, I'm pretty much doing it for the culture, doing it for the stats. I don't plan on working in public health, but, yeah, just doing it for the paper. Just
That's what your degree is in public health?
Like, exactly.
I actually didn't know that.
Exactly.
I figured you'd be a liberal arts or something.
I'm disrespected. Like, I feel disrespected.
That's a shot.
First episode, we want to talk about something that we thought was pertinent and ultimately just let it flow. This was really Darius' idea. And why did you say you wanted to do a podcast? Like, what made it came to your mind?
I think just, we do go out to eat every Friday at the sushi joint. I don't know the name of it. I just pull up. But I don't know. Just being there, having guy talk, it's kind of cathartic in a way. Being able, you know, being around your peers, being around your boys. And then, I don't know, our conversations, whether we were talking about politics or we were talking about relationships, emotions, or whatever, our conversations were so good to the point to where you would have to, you know, and we should record this. We should put this on a podcast.
Yep.
and really, I don't know, let the world hear, you know, what we talk about, because we do have some pretty interesting things to talk about when we are talking, you know, at the sushi joint at 8:30. Every Friday, you can pull up if you want. I don't know the
Shout
name.
Shout out to Happy Hour.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gina.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gina.
Damn, Gina.
Gina.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all good things. But yeah, they are cathartic in a sense. And yeah, it helps. It's good to have those things to talk about and really connect with people. But I want to talk about something that I think is pertinent. The mass shootings that happened. It's interesting because I was in LA this past Wednesday. And Thursday, and when the shootings happened, I think it was like 25, 30 miles from where I was at. I was out that night. I went to a bar with some coworkers, and it's crazy because he walked in and shot everybody. And I think I was telling Demetrius about this earlier. When you walk into a bar, there's a bouncer there at the door, but nobody else really checks. You walk in, and that's pretty much it. They might check your ID, but other than that, then they're not checking you for anything in particular. So what are y'all initial reactions to that in the light of kind of everything that has been happening already in the country with gun control and mass shooting?
I think for me personally, like when I do hear of a mass shooting, like I think for me personally, it's always have that thought of like, all right, who is it? Like, what do they look like? Let's release that mugshot. And I know if they delay themselves in releasing a mugshot, I know who it is.
Straight up.
But to me at this point, sadly, like I'm not surprised. I don't know. I just feel like we got a lot of things backwards as far as like our Constitution and Second Amendment, right, and all that stuff that people like to harp on. I don't know. I feel like we need to rewrite and redo a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't surprised either. It's sad. I don't know who brought up the statistic earlier about what is it, 300 and some change?
Yeah. 307th mass shooting in 2018.
307.
And there's 312 days of the year so far.
Mass shootings within 2018 so far. That's ridiculous. But when I hear that statistic, I didn't even realize that there has been that many. I don't know if they're not reaching the media platforms or whatever, the news. But I definitely didn't know that there was that many to this date. So
yep.
That's extremely alarming to me. But I think when things happen at that rate and that frequently, you kind of get a numbness to it. I feel like that's something I struggle with, like being alarmed and being fearful of things that happen so frequently, which I think is a flaw of society right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I found this article on CNN. It was talking about this lady, and her son was in Vegas last year when the shooting happened, which is the largest incident of the shooting of that kind of caliber in United States history. And he was actually at the bar two nights ago when the shooting happened and didn't survive this time. So he was in Vegas when the shooting happened, survived, and then was at the bar and didn't survive. He was in the Navy.
Like, think of what are the odds of that. You know what I'm saying?
It's sad because it's just everywhere. But I think the elephant in the room, and I'll be the one to say it, what do the people look like 99% of the time when these mass shootings occur?
W-H-I-T,
they're white.
White people, man.
And I'm not going to sit here and say the only white people can do it, because I know that's not true, but statistics don't lie. Why is it that it's only white people? Why don't you see black people doing it? Why don't you see Hispanic people doing it? Like, why is it only one demographic? And why is it that it's mental health with them? But if it's us, it's one of them thugs again.
I think too, we need to get to the point to where we do classify this as terrorism. Like, we do classify like white men with mental health issues as terrorists. I mean, because we're quick to identify Middle Eastern men who, you know, do certain things and commit certain acts as terrorists. But when white people do it, it's just like, we're, you know, let's not be quick to judge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, you know, everything along those lines. But I just think it's really interesting how, like, you know, when a Hispanic person does it, they're a legal immigrant. When a black person does it, they're a thug, criminal, felon or whatever. But when a white person does it, you know, he's a troubled youth. Loving family man, no one saw it coming.
Or,
you know, mental health issues.
Didn't get the help he needed.
Yeah.
I know, I think when it happened, I was on social media and whatnot and seeing like tweets and people like, this is not only our justice system, or more so like the government and our amendments failing us there, but also they said the mental health institutions or the health systems failing us in that regard. At the fact that if this man did have mental issues, he wasn't getting the help you need. But once again, I think that's a cop out. Like we said, with white people, it's always they had mental health issues. But I mean, this dude was 28 years old and he just unloaded at a bar for no apparent reason. I feel like none of these shootings are for any good reasons. And speaking of one, I had to talk with a client today about it, and he brought up the one in Madden tournament. The dude who lost.
He shot up a Madden tournament?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He shot.
Swear. What was this?
The video, you could see a red dot on the players that were playing 2K at the moment. It was a black dude. You could see a red beam on their chest, bro. And then you just hear shots ring off, and of course the camera goes blank. But just think about, like, I say that to bring up, obviously, it's another mass shooting that was completely ignorant, as all of them are. But the fact that they blame that, you know what I'm saying, on mental health or what have you, when the dude was just a sucker, like, just straight up.
And then I think we talked about it, too, the other night before we went to Sushi, was, like, the type of video games that we play versus kind of, like, the type of games that white people play. And I feel like white people, they're really on that Call of Duty. Like, they're really on that, like,
at a very, very early age.
Where my mom, like, I couldn't play those kind of games.
That's an M-rated game, bro. You can't buy it if you want.
Yeah, mom, you know, walk into the living room like, nigga, what are you playing? Yeah. Like, turn that off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there was no shooting 'em up games.
Yeah, so I
couldn't play with guns, toy guns. Yeah. My grandma would trip on me.
So it's just like having, like, I don't know, them being introduced to that lifestyle, that way of thinking so early and so young. I feel like it's just like, I don't know.
Recipe for disaster.
I remember, bro, them Call of Duty chat rooms when the little white kids would be in there and they'd be calling you nigga this, nigga that.
Yeah.
I was never in that.
They never tried me with that.
But it's like, what you gonna do to little, like, these are like 9, 10-year-old kids that be saying stuff like this. But I think it is. It's just the exposure to that kind of stuff and exposure to guns and exposure to violence. And then I think it's also just how white parents be parenting their kids too. Because I've seen probably the most audacious kids are white talking to their white moms. Or it could be like a mixed kid talking to their white mom, talking to them off the wall.
But like, what compels an individual to just, like, I want to truly say, fuck it, I'm finna go.
Even with like the Sandy joint where they
Sandy Hook,
kid,
Sandy
yeah, Hook. Like that's the one that bothers me the most.
That was the elementary school,
yeah,
right? School,
because he was mad at his mom, and I think Cat Williams said it best when he was like, you know, black people, they get mad and they kill the person that they're mad at. White people get mad and they kill everybody but the person that they're mad at. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't get it. Like when we saw Black Panther last year, like I was like, I had anxiety.
Yeah,
like, I wanted to see the film.
He was pretty, yeah.
But I went into the film, but I was like, you know what? This is a high concentration of people of color.
Yeah.
This is the opening night.
One person.
And it takes like one mentally ill white person to say, you know what? I'm going to do this for my race or whatever, or whatever, you know, these people think when they're doing this. But I just remember being in the theater thinking, like, you know what? I'm going to sit close to the exit.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit in the middle. I'm going to sit on the outside. And it's like no reason why I should have to think about that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And like we said, man, statistics don't lie. We do not. I can't name one situation where a black dude just went in unloaded. Y'all remember that situation where that dude killed a man on Facebook? The black dude, he killed another black dude on Facebook.
Over what?
And then all of a sudden, oh, I don't remember what it was. But all of a sudden, he disappeared. Nothing was ever brought up. There was no reports about it, no CNN reports, nothing. It was just. Some people say it was staged or fake or something like that, just to almost make black people put them in that realm of just all the craziness.
I mean, the only thing we got really is like the DC sniper, sniper, and then the dude in Dallas when he shot up the cops.
The cops, yeah,
yeah. But even then, he shot up cops with a purpose. You know what I mean? So like white people, but like white people going into movie theaters, country music festivals, bars, video. It's like, why?
So then the question is, should we just arm ourselves? The government's not going to do it. Should we just arm ourselves?
That's not the key. You don't fight fire with fire. And that's just not.
But
that's not how.
But damn, if somebody, bro, I'm not a gun person. I've shot guns before. Like, I know that's not me. But at the same time, if somebody has a gun, I want a gun. I want a gun too. I don't want to be in the position where I'm going to get caught lacking and then something happens.
Bruh, period. I would have days where I was working at the BCC. What was that school in Southern Oregon? Umpqua Community College. When that happened, the very next day, I was looking at how to get a gun. I do have my gun license in California. Unfortunately, Oregon does not sell to California residents, so I wasn't able to arm myself at that moment. But I had every intention on getting a gun because I'd be damned if somebody walking to the BCC, for those who don't know, that's the Black Culture Center here at on Oregon State's campus, and try to kill my people. I felt like I would be armed. If somebody came in here and I felt the need to protect these black men, more specifically these black women, and nobody, just go down fighting. I mean, I'm not saying I'm fearful of death I'm not really fearful of death if it's for the right cause.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a situation like that, other people's lives, you know, are more important than mine in that situation. So if I got to go down for a greater cause, you feel me, to save some people, I would do it.
Yeah.
I would do it in a heartbeat, bro. And those are my exact thoughts at that exact moment.
Yeah.
For a couple days.
I understand the not fighting fire with fire, but if the government ain't going to change, then what you going to do? Like, I'm not just going to sit there and take it, you know?
I really feel like we need to rewrite the Constitution, bro. Like, it's just, everybody comes back to the Second Amendment, in the Constitution or whatever, but I just feel like that's a document that was written while human beings were enslaved.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's different times. You could also fully armed militias walking down the street taking over your town. But again, if they say the Constitution is a living, breathing document, and if it is to be that way, then why is it not evolving with the times? Why is it not changing?
It's just like we saw with South Africa. When they abolished apartheid, they also abolished the Constitution that they had in place and rewrote it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
But yeah, because a lot of things are systemic. It's not about what people are doing. It's systemic. It's rooted in the way the country is run. And thus, again, I don't ever see the Constitution here in the United States getting thrown out just because that's just how the United States is. But again, an amendment, because that's the thing. The point of them are to be amendments can be changed too.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds weird, but they can be changed because it goes with the times.
And then the system isn't set up for black men to obtain guns. You know what I'm saying? Because they over-police our communities. They give us felonies, and felonies can't properly, you know, own a weapon. So it's just like it's the system is set up to where, you know, these white people have these guns. They have access to the guns. You know, the KKK, a.k.a. the NRA?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. National Rifle Association or whatever. Like, I feel like they have it set up in such a way to where, like, it's hard for black men to obtain guns, and that's why they obtain it. So they obtain it illegally and end up getting in trouble for it.
You bring up a good point, though. I don't know if y'all seen the documentary, The 13th, on Netflix about the mass incarceration.
Yeah.
About, And so it's interesting you bring that up because it talks about with the war on drugs, the policing, the way they were policing, profiling, all those different types of things, probable cause and how there was no probable cause and they stopping people and that when they were padding people up, they would slip things on them and throw them in jail. And again, it goes up to the felon thing. The felon, if you're a felon, if you get that on your thing, it cripples you. While you may be a one-time felon for something that could be like a petty drug charge, they would do it where it would be, they know African-Americans and Latino men use crack more, so they're going to police that heavier and have mandatory minimums for that. So if you get caught with a gram of something, that's going to be 10 years in the pen and a felon stamp. Whereas if you get caught with a gram of cocaine, that's going to be maybe 2 or 3 years, and you're not going to get that felony on you. But it's just a way to cripple. But going back, that's a good point, because when you think about it, the way the system is set up, a lot of these people from that time in the war on drugs are still around, but they can't vote, they can't obtain guns, they can't do all these things because of something that was systemically done to them, and they have no way to get around that now.
Yeah, and it kind of is disarmed black African-Americans in this country. Like, we don't, I don't know too many relatives that have guns that... Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like with white people, they got guns everywhere. They got rifles everywhere. They hunt. You know what I'm saying? It's just like they're always training themselves to kill.
Yeah.
Whether it's hunting, whether it's whatever. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. I just think it's just two different cultures. Like, white people be on some weird shit sometimes. And it's like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get what goes on in a person's head to be like, you know what? I'm going to go to this place with this gun and shoot up people like it's a video game.
Yeah.
Like it's, and essentially you can bring it back to the video game and then being introduced to that lifestyle young. And it's just like, it's crazy. And I feel like we're seeing video game type stuff. Like the Parkland joint, the Madden joint, the Sandy Hook joint, the stuff that happened this weekend. And it's just, it's crazy. Joining Miami at the club. It's crazy.
Yeah. I think about a game like Fortnite though. And Fortnite's not even like, I play Fortnite and it's not inherently bad in the sense it's cartoon, but I think it's just the notion of like what you're doing with the guns, you're killing. And then they make the guns in the game based off of guns in real life. So then they see it in the game. And they're like, well, I want that in real life. It's a lot. It's weird because I mean, it's not weird. I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, we just bashing white people, but if the shoe fits, the shoe fits.
Yeah.
It's happened. I believe coincidences only happen every so often. After a couple times, it's not a coincidence no more. It's a reoccurrence.
We even forgot about the Jewish joint in Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when they walked into it. I forgot all about
that. It's happening so much that you forget.
Charleston? The church?
About Charleston, that one too.
Church.
Yeah,
church?
It's crazy, bro.
Damn.
It's
a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. That's crazy.
Well, back to what Darius was saying, too. Like, that whole thing is just white supremacy. That's really what it is, the whole system, how it's set up. They don't want to let us have any type of power at all. Everything they do is to keep us down because they fear what they already took. They don't realize. They fear of giving back what they already took. Yeah. So it's like, how, and it pops a question up for me, like, how can we defeat that? It's kind of hard because it's set up for us to just stay down. And then no matter how successful one of us, African or people of color, how successful we get, they still got something to hold us back to be less than they are. And so for me, it just doesn't make any sense. Same with the mass incarceration thing. They'll do anything to keep us in there. Anything.
But I also think that's why, I know I can attest to this. I know y'all probably relate. I feel like that's why our moms like are so hard on us, though, as like young black men. They're just things because they know like how the system looks at it. And while I know when I was younger, I used to be like, mom, you're overreacting. But like, I get it. God. I would be terrified, like, I would be scared if I was a mother to have like a black male child in this world, especially like have my own kids in the future. Like, albeit I want to have kids, but it's like the world I'm bringing them into is crazy. And especially having like a young black man and the way like race relations are going in this country and like the killing of young unarmed black men. Mm-hmm. It's like you flip on the news, like, wow, you knew Stephon Clark. Things like that. It's like you look
teammate.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you knew, that's a personal thing. But even just looking at it, we look like the people that are getting gunned down. Like, at any moment, that could be us.
But they fear us, though, which is crazy.
They fear us
They roll their window up when we walk by.
Lock their doors, man.
Yeah. You know?
I definitely think that's crazy. And to speak to that, man, I remember times where these shootings were happening and my mom would trip. I'd be like, I'm going somewhere. I'm going here. Or I'm driving to the Bay real quick.
Yeah.
And she would be geeking, just like, who you going with? Da, 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 da. Like, at this point, I'm out of college, so I'm kind of getting my freedom, a little bit of liberty and whatnot, although I am home visiting, you know, respecting mom's wishes. But, you know, I did move how I felt I wanted to. But she would just be on my helmet about what I was doing. And then after, like, a couple texts back and forth, she would just be like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm nervous and I'm scared about where you're going, who you're going to be with, because the way this world is operating right now, there's no guarantee you make it back. You know what I'm saying? So I think to hear a mother tell you that, it really puts it in perspective for you. And then to also lose someone that you know, personally and for a while to police brutality is absolutely like a feeling that I don't know if many can relate with.
Yeah.
I know we all feel for our brothers and sisters who died at the hands of police brutality, but it carries a different weight when you actually know the individual.
Yeah.
How do you guys function now with, like, I don't know, being in a room full of white people and you see that, like, that one weird white guy in the room? Like, do you have anxiety? I know I have anxiety, and I know that I always keep my eye out. At the beginning of the term, I always keep my eye out for that one guy that you know what I'm saying, that looks a little bit like...
A little off.
A little off.
The chair ain't all the way pushed in.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, maybe now the roles are being reversed, because now, like, when we walk into a room, I'm sure they're doing the same thing. Like, okay, tall black man.
But we have a reason to feel that way. Yeah. They don't have a reason to be like that with us. Bro, we... Like, our people were enslaved, like, literally dogs, yet we're the ones being killed. It should be flipped. No, I'm not advocating killing people, but if you want to be real about it, we should be the ones out here
suffering from mental health issues and spazzing out.
Yeah,
and
that's what
black people have mental health issues as well, and you don't see us going around shooting up everybody.
Yeah.
So that ain't no excuse. Yeah. White people, y'all do not get a pass.
Well, for me,
that's an excellent point.
For me,
that's straight from White's mouth.
Just cut it off right there. For me, in the summer, I actually really did have a guy like that in my class. It was Math 306, and I remember I would walk into class, and we'd be doing group work. Bro had a black beanie on. It's a white, slender little dude, white or little glasses on, all black all the time.
Mm.
All the time, just sitting. So what I started doing, I started sitting in the back, right with him. I started, so I could see, or not even, like right next to him, so I could see. Like, it's hard to be in class and have to always turn around and feel like you have to turn around and check, or act like you're checking your backpack, but really you checking the dude behind you.
Yeah.
And, like, even today, after what happened with the L.A. thing, I'm still checking behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Every little white person that walked past me, I'm like, this could be the one right here.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one.
And even today, we got a notification from campus saying something about a bomb.
Some deuces. Yeah. Which is even worse, because they talking about it's on Sunday. Well, ain't nobody really on campus on Sunday. We ain't got school Monday, so for all we know, it could be on Tuesday.
That's what I told Watts. I was like, bro, nobody, again, I would like to think, if somebody really going to do a bomb, they're not going to be the person to say, oh, I'm going to do it Sunday and actually do it Sunday. They're going to do it Sunday, cause a diversion, and then pull up on the Tuesday and really do something. On.
You know what's sad? I wonder how many times this happens across the nation as far as bomb threats go. When I was in high school, my sister, she went to San Francisco State. They would get bomb threats, and my mom would be tripping out, like ready to go pick up my sister. But ain't nothing ever happened. So I don't know if I'm just not like.
We had one in my high school. And then my mom was assistant principal. So I was like texting her throughout.
Uh-huh.
But they got like a weird email. But apparently, I'm laughing, it's bad. There's like another Heritage High School in like a different state. We were just the wrong high school. They emailed us to the wrong high school. So we weren't supposed to be the one that got us to get the email. We got it.
Tripping.
But yeah, things like that. I mean, it's scary. And I'm real. I really don't read too much into bomb threats. Like, that wouldn't. If I get a notification that somebody, there might be a shooting, that would be the one that's the more, I would pay more attention to
which
that
happened
one.
Last year.
Yes.
Yep. Bro was making threats. Bro was making threats on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then they had to go get him. And what was he? He was a white male.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So.
You remember that?
Yeah.
So he was actually in the booth and they pulled up on him, though.
His tweets was going crazy, though.
Real crazy.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, why?
Yeah, and that was my question in the beginning. I want to get back to that.
I guess we just build different. When I say us, I mean us as like black men, black, you know, people of color. Yeah. Like, I just feel like we built different. Like, I don't understand. Maybe it's our raising, like the way we were raised.
I think how we were raised.
Yeah.
Pardon it.
Because it's just, I do not get it. I do not get it.
It doesn't make any logical sense. We can sit here and talk about the factors that play a part. It don't make sense at all. There's no justification for killing, period.
But I would love to see like an experiment done to where, like, you know how you was playing Vice City the other night before we went to go to go get sushi? And then, like, the way that I play versus the way James played versus the way Caleb played versus the way you played, we all got different. Yeah. Like, I don't really play. I don't really do missions. I just like driving around listening to music. You know what I'm saying? You like whipping. You know what I'm saying? It's just whatever.
I like building up the cars, bro.
Exactly.
That was one time. They talking about me. I was just waiting to leave to go to sushi. I was going crazy, though. Because that's what we used to do when we was kids. You would try to get... Sounds bad. Get caught by law, you know. Get your police stars up, and then you try not to die. And if you die, then you pass the sticks. That's literally what we did.
But then again, it's just like, you know, how do you play? You know what I'm saying? Like, watch, you know, whatever. So it's just like I would love to see how culturally like games are played. You know what I'm saying? So like the Call of Duty, the Vice Cities, the all of this. You know what I'm saying? So it's just it's crazy, man. Yeah. I feel like video games parenting has a large role in this.
I also think it's I also think it's the extent, the amount of time they play. Like, for me, I'm the type of person, if I hop on a game, like, I'm not playing, like, 3 hours would be an excessive amount of time for me to play. And when I was home and, like, little, like, or not even little, when I was younger and used to play games, my mom would cut it off for, like, 2 hours. Like, that was when I was playing that, bro. I know, like, white kids that play all night long. Like,
losing sleep.
They was losing sleep
till 1 p.m.
Yeah, and then like I couldn't play video games during the week either. So it was just like the weekends I would play. That's when I would play. Like when I played Call of Duty when I was in high school, I would play it on the weekends. But I wasn't. I honestly believe all video games of that caliber are bad. I think it's just the extent to which you use them. So the more you use them, if you staying up all night losing sleep over it, yeah, it's gonna have an effect on you. What'd you say?
Well, first things first, I ain't gonna lie. I was playing Call of Duty all through high school. Like, I thought that will. Till my junior year, but I was playing it a lot. But like the way I was brought up, the way my dad taught me, he was like, "This ain't guns, ain't nothing. Don't touch one. You ain't playing with them, nothing." And he kind of gave me a leeway as I got older. But I understood that early on. Like, he put that intuition in me. But the thing I wanted to talk about was what we watched last week, Caleb. That how almost was a mass shooting.
Yeah, it was the white dude, and he basically talked about how he was almost a school shooter.
Yep.
And almost. It was like a friend reached out to him or something.
He was white.
My thing is this. If you're going to be a school shooter, it takes somebody to like offer to give you like some food for you not to shoot up a school. Why is that like the thing that... Why does that take you off the ledge? Like, oh, damn. Well,
I can't shoot at him now. He got me double-double.
He also had, like, I guess, what was it? Like, his parents was real abusive. Yeah. They wasn't fucking with him. Like, they was really tainting him from the day he was born. They just did not like him. And they threw him down the track. Everybody at school made fun of him and all that. And he said that was, like, the driving force to everything he was about to do. And then he said, thankfully, somebody showed nothing but love and care for him. And that's the reason why he didn't shoot. So what about that? Like, think about, and I'm not saying by any means, shooting, death don't see color. It don't see nothing. It just see taking you away. That's all it sees. So how, with somebody with his situation, you're brought up where nobody love you. Everybody just hates you. And everybody just, I guess it kind of alludes back to what you were saying. Just like, why do they take it out on other people instead of the people that was done? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
I've heard they say they want to inflict the most amount of pain. Like, that's why people go
one body. That's what he said.
Because there was the shooting in Oregon at that mall in Clackamas, I think, where the dude went into the Clackamas mall and shot the whole food court up. But he said he wanted to go somewhere where he could inflict the most amount of pain possible, hurt the most amount of people in the least amount of time.
That sounds like why was he alive to even say that, though?
Oh, message. Repeat that one more time.
Why was he alive to even say that?
And he ain't the only one. We can list, I don't know them suckers' names, but we could list a bunch of white men that been carried off. Me and Darius just talk about this over a haircut. Yeah. What they stopped at? What? A fast food joint?
Burger King.
Was it the white boy that shot up the church?
Church, yeah.
He went to Burger King, y'all, on his way to jail. Alive.
Alive, yeah.
While people like Stephon Clark, aka Zoe, getting clips unloaded on him for having a cell phone in his hand in his own backyard.
And
no resuscitation, no help.
You see the video. The video is the worst part, bro, because you really see it. But there's no way in hell that was a gun. Like,
no way, bro.
And the fact that, like, they have this man surrounded, like, there's no reason to shoot. If you have them surrounded, I get it. Like, cops, they shoot to kill. I get it. But if your life is not in danger, you have a 7-on-1 with a damn helicopter and canine units, there's no reason to fire.
Even the video I sent on our IG thing where the guy was just like backing up and then they just like lit up the car. I'm just like,
You sent me that.
It's crazy. Like, I don't.
Killed a lady. They were sleeping in the car.
I don't get it. Like, I do not get it. Like, why do these people get to walk away from these experiences alive? I don't know. It just, it says so much about our country.
What, like, why did, where did these cops get the idea that they can just do this? Is it in the training? Is it in inherited beliefs that superior race,
and,
whatever?
Yeah. And I can think, I don't think any of us are saying, like, all cops are bad. No, definitely like, that's not what we're saying. But it's like, it just takes one bad thing to taint the bunch. Like, one bad cop can make all cops look that way. But that's just, and that just goes with stereotyping in general. My thing is, again, coincidences happen. But if it happens too much, it's a reoccurrence at that point. There's no more. It's not just by coincidence. No more. It's happening for. There's a reason.
It's not lack of poor training. It's not none of that. There's a deeper reason for why police brutality is even a thing. I mean, we could go back into civil rights era and look at what police were doing back then. You feel me? Nothing has changed. And that's just the fact of the matter.
And I think it's crazy too. Like right before Black Lives Matter happened. I remember, like, one of my coworkers in the military, he had I didn't get it. It didn't dawn on me until, like, a year after. But he on his car, he had, it was, like, hashtag I am human. And I was like, why is that on your car? Like, why do you, I am human? Like, that doesn't make sense. But he had it on his car for, like, a year. And I didn't get it until, like, I got Black Lives Matter. Because it was, like, it's 2016, 17, whenever that was. And he's having to remind people that he's a human being. Like, that to me is, we're living in some troubled times, man.
We are.
Straight up.
Unfiltered, man. Episode 1 in the books.
Oh, yeah.
We coming back again. Thank you to everybody for listening. That's what it is.
Peace.
Yes, sir.
Love.
Chicken grease.